This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Langston Hughes' play Black Nativity first debuted over 50 years ago. It's a retelling of the birth of the baby Jesus with an all-black cast. It has since become a modern-day classic. Black churches and various theaters regularly stage the production. Well, about 6 years ago, film producer Joy Goodwin was watching an off-Broadway staging of Black Nativity when she decided it would make a great movie. And after many years and a lot of hard work, the movie is now out in theaters. It has an all-star cast featuring Jennifer Hudson, Forrest Whitaker, Angela Bassett, and Mary J. Blige. And Joy Goodwin is Black Nativity's executive producer. She's also a lecturer in creative writing and communication studies at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and on our program now. Joy, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you so much.
So tell us about Black Nativity and the stage play. How much did you know about it before you saw that production 6 years ago?
I didn't know anything about it, and I felt a little bit sheepish to admit that later because it is such a phenomenon. You know, Black Nativity is performed in dozens, if not hundreds, of community centers, churches across the country every winter, you know, starting late November through the holiday season. So it's really something that I should have been aware of. But as soon as I saw it, I understood why it's done again and again. It is electric, and it's one of the few theater shows I've ever been to where the audience becomes basically a congregation through the course of the experience. And when it's over, you really feel connected to the other people in the room. It's a powerful thing.
Well, tell us how it's usually staged for the theater.
Well, so the production I saw was a lot more polished than you would often see. Often Black Nativity is done in an annual pageant form, and communities can alter the composition of the story. You know, you can have more before the baby's born or more after. You can change the dance numbers. You can alter the musical styles. You can swap out songs. It's really a free-form experience, which has certain key elements that don't change, which are, you know, the birth of Christ is told and then spreading the news is done. And there's always a Mary, a Joseph, a baby, and a certain number of other set characters as you would have in any Christmas pageant. But one of the traditions I like a lot is that you might have a situation where three elders of the community play the wise men, and you might have the youngest member of the congregation be the baby. So you have a lot of built-in moments each year that people look forward to.
Well, and that is the congregation effect, right? I mean, that's when having it done by a local community, you can sort of overlook the pageant effect because of the power of the connection this has with the community. Right?
Yeah, I think that Langston Hughes probably had no idea how popular this would become. It's really had a staying power that very few theater works have had, and it's something that I really think goes back in a certain way to the primacy of that story. Obviously, an important story for Christians, but an important story for people of any religious persuasion. I think this idea that in the least of us, amongst the poor and the powerless, lies the greatest hope. That's an incredible story.
Well, and probably the power in this country, telling that story with an all-black cast, reminds us about the outcast nature of the true outcast nature of Christianity and what it means to be on the outside, to be a people in exile, which is how the whole thing got founded. Not the people in power.
Yeah, our film version of Black Nativity takes off from that point, and what our writer director Casey Lemons, who's an amazing writer and director, what she so brilliantly decided very early on was to take what Langston Hughes called a gospel song play and put that in the center of her movie and around it build a story, a contemporary story of a young single mom played by Jennifer Hudson who's got this teenage kid, and she's been estranged from her parents who live in Harlem for, you know, a decade. And now suddenly she needs the parents to watch the kid. And so she took the Black Nativity story and she expanded around it to include a contemporary story about people who are estranged at the holidays. And it really is an attempt to heal the family. And inside of that is the gospel song play.
We have a clip now, and it is part of that framing narrative in which the nativity play itself is embedded. Let's listen.
What? Church. Tonight?
The Reverend's putting on his Christmas show, Black Nativity.
Well, count me out. I don't do church.
Choose for yourselves this day which God you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
There it is, a clip from Black Nativity, and we have the executive producer, Joy Goodwin, with us today. The film version, so how did you decide what kind of liberties you could take and how to massage this Langston Hughes classic to make it a film?
You know, normally when you work on a film adaptation, you have 500 pages that you're trying to shoehorn into a 90 or 100-page script. This was the opposite problem. The gospel song play by Langston Hughes is incredibly thin, and so we knew that on its own it was not a script. And so that gave us a lot of opportunity to think about what we were going to do. And I think one of the great ideas that Casey had very early was that Langston, the young boy who's named after Langston Hughes in the script, he's going to fall asleep in this church service and he's going to dream things that are in the nativity story. So the congregation is doing this nativity story and he's hearing it while he sleeps and it's filtering into his dream. And through his dream, he's working out some of the questions of his own life, much in the manner of, say, like The Wizard of Oz, where Dorothy's going to bump her head or fall asleep and suddenly all the people that she knows in her waking world will play parts in her dream world. That was a real inspiration.
And you talked about the fact that when you saw this play, it had a real sort of congregational effect, the effect of being part of a congregation in a live audience. Now you're going to do a film, and clearly you're not going to have that kind of effect. So what do you do when you translate that stage of feeling onto a film where you know some of that is just by its nature going to be lost?
Yeah, I think one important thing to understand about this material is that it sort of forces you to approach it in a different way. And I think when people see the film, one thing people have said to me a lot is that there's just no ability to watch this film in a cynical way. You sort of come in and you're forced into a posture of sincerity. And people like that. I mean, it's actually, the film is rated PG, which is one of the things that you don't see a lot nowadays, a film that you could take grandpa to and take your kid. And so I think that's, it speaks to a more old-fashioned kind of perspective, you know, that we actually want people to come and open the possibility of being moved in a way that's free from the sarcasm and cynicism that most movies now just adopt as a matter of course. So I think that's one thing that we had to decide. But one reason I wanted to make this movie, and one reason I thought we could make this movie, was that it would be like a magnet. It would draw people's goodwill. And in fact, that's what's happened. It's the kind of project where when people read it in script form, when people were deciding whether or not to play parts in it, when people were deciding to work on it in all the different creative capacities, you know, music, costume design, production design, people wanted to be part of it. It had this energy to it that was like a magnet that attracted the best from people. And I think it does the same with audiences. I've seen it a lot now in the theater, and it seems to pull out of people their wishes for peace in their family, their wishes to make Christmas something more than just buying gifts.
Yeah, it is. You have an all-star cast here and an all-star writer-director in this. So people were definitely, I guess, attracted to – they saw this as something that's going to be good for them.
Yeah, a lot of people had a very personal connection to the material, actors who had grown up singing in church. Forrest Whitaker, who's in our film, actually trained as an opera singer. So he was delighted to get to sing live. And Angela Bassett, who plays Forrest Whitaker's wife, the grandmother, she had not sung on film before. And that's one thing I love about the movie is that she's singing in the way that a normal person would sing. She's lovely, but she's not trained. And so we have people of all backgrounds, everyone from Jennifer Hudson, who's a recording star, to people who are singing much as you or I might sing in a musical. So it's great.
You also have Tyrese Gibson, who yes. is singing at the birth of baby Jesus. Let's listen to that song.
Hello. Sweet little Jesus boy. They made him born in a manger. Sweet little holy child. They didn't save us, Lord. Take away our sins, our eyes were blind. We cannot see.
Tyrese Gibson singing Baby Jesus from the film Black Nativity in theaters now. Executive producer Joy Goodwin is here. She teaches at UNC Chapel Hill. A beautiful song. Were you involved much in the production? Were you there on the soundstage when all this was being done?
Yeah, I was on set for several days. I wasn't there every day. I was down here in North Carolina by then, and they were filming mostly in Harlem and New York, other locations. But, you know, when I hear that song, it so reminds me of how lucky we were to get Rafael Sadiq, who's our music producer, who's a huge record producer. And, you know, to go to him and be able to get several months of his time to make this what it is, we were incredibly fortunate. When I first heard that song in the off-Broadway production, it was sung by a children's choir from Kenya. These were kids who were in a kind of orphanages and had been brought together in a music school, and they had come to off-Broadway. Actually, it was on 42nd Street to do this show, and the producers told me that the kids had never seen streetlights before, and then the first time they saw them was when Times Square lit up. You can imagine.
So, wow.
So I was thinking as we were making this film, like, nothing will be able to move me in the way that those children moved me. And it's true, that's a special memory. You can never recapture that. But I think seeing this song on film, it always does sort of really get you in the heart, because it's such a powerful song and such an amazing lyric. We didn't know who you were.
Well, you know, it brings us back to this question of how do you adapt this kind of a production for film. And it seems to me you're being very faithful to the history of this play, the fact that it has been repurposed by every community. Mm-hmm. And in all ways, each of those communities has interpreted it their own way, a kind of repurposing that we see throughout sort of modern culture and sampling culture. It's about taking what is already there and making it our own.
Certainly. And that was a big part of Casey Lemon's vision for the film. You know, Black Nativity always has references to a kind of African diaspora culture. It always has live drumming. It always has African costuming. And that is in our film. But we also have all different genres of African-American influenced music, R&B, soul, rap. We have gospel, of course. And one thing I'm really proud of is that the way that they chose to do the gospel music sounds more like it would sound in a church than the way that gospel music that's highly produced, in my opinion, sometimes overproduced, can sound. And so we really have a great gospel sound in the film. It's much more like what you want to hear when you hear gospel in a church.
Well, that makes perfect sense to me, coming from someone who has such a great background in independent film production, that you would want that authenticity. But let me ask you, because you have such a deep background in independent film, what was it like for you to do a big Hollywood production like this?
Well, in some ways it's great because you have the resources to do a musical. I mean, although there have been incredible independent musicals like the movie Once, doing a musical often requires you to really pull out all the stops of movie magic. And for that, you need a budget. And even though we had a considerable budget on this film, there are musicals that have been made for five times as much money as what we spent. So we really liked that aspect. I think this film has, in some ways, because it's a movie from Fox Searchlight, which is sort of a specialty division of Fox, it has a bit of that independent spirit while still having the production value of a studio film. And the ways in which I think it has a lot in common with other films I've made have to do with the vision that the filmmaker has and the fact that the film still feels like it was made by a very particular person, not by a committee.
So what is the, well, let me ask you that. What's the role of the executive producer? Is that you?
Yeah. Well, executive producer in this case is going to be somebody who did a great deal of creative work on the project without being the producer on set every day. And what I really contributed, I scouted the project. I arranged for us to get the rights and found Casey to write and direct it and worked very closely with her when she was developing her pitch and her early drafts of the script. So I was really there a lot in the beginning.
So you do have a great deal of creative input then in the collaborative process that ends up being a film.
Yeah, well, being a film producer is about having input, but it's also about nurturing people to do their best work. It's not helpful for you to steer them too much. So I think I was really lucky because when Casey and I met, it's funny, I was actually 9 months pregnant when we did the meeting. And it almost didn't happen, you know, and I look back and it was just this little moment in a coffee shop where I leaned across the table and said, what about Black Nativity? And I just made that connection and I knew that she was going to do it. I just saw this look on her face, which you seldom see as a producer. You spend years trying to get people to do things that they are sort of eh about. And this was a case where she just leaned forward and lit up and I knew it was going to happen. So there's a lot of luck in these encounters.
It's a great project. Congratulations. Good
Thanks
to talk
so
to
much.
Joy. Joy Goodwin, executive producer. She is also a lecturer in creative writing and communication studies. Teacher at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. The film is Black Nativity. It is in theaters now. Thanks for listening. This is The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.